Well, a little bit of a late start, but we'll just pick up with the time we got. And fortunately, the format this morning lends itself to breaking it up into small pieces. We're going to anyway, so perfect. Father, thank you for this time to gather. Thank you that we're not in control of our life and things come into our lives that we don't expect. And yet we have the confidence of knowing that nothing happens without your sovereign planning and without your purpose in it. And thank you for this time this morning. Thank you that we're able to still gather and to spend time together as we move toward the close of this series, and pray that you would make it a profitable time for us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are winding up, and we had kind of a last section of, I call it odds and ends, where we just been kind of moving through all these, and we're on the last section of the last section, so this is getting close. And I don't know exactly how long this very last point will take. We're going to kind of play it by ear a little bit. I would say at the most 3 or 4 weeks, but maybe less. We'll just see how it goes. A little bit different. Going through a series of fictitious or real examples. So what does that look like? Well, I've got a couple different things I'm going to try over the course of this. Some of them are going to be like written hypothetical situations where we read a scenario and go over it that way. But I actually was able, the first time I did this several months ago, I went out on YouTube and thought there'd be a wealth of information out there, but apparently I wasn't doing the searches right or something and didn't come up with anything. I thought, oh, that might not work. But then yesterday I went out and did some looking and found some things like what I wanted to present. So what I did is I found a couple of examples on YouTube, and the search that I finally hit that brought me the treasure trove of information I was looking for is children misbehaving. You can only imagine what I have found. These are just things out there on the internet. I don't know the people who made them. And we're not approving or disapproving out of the box. We're just going to watch it. And the whole point of this, I'm not going to have much to say about it. This is where I want to get you guys involved. And of course, I'll lead the discussion and I'll certainly interact on it. But just so you know up front, kind of be watching this and be thinking in your own mind, what are we watching here? What do we say about how this went? Okay, so that's kind of how it's going to go. So hopefully I've got the sound and everything where you'll be able to hear it well. So, like I said, these are all about 2, maybe 3 minutes apiece.
Did you draw a marker all over your face? Where did you draw it? Good girl. Let's go upstairs and get you washed up, okay?
All right, so there's the first one. And they're all a little bit different, so that's one of the slower ones, actually. What did you see there? What are your observations? What are your thoughts? Again, I'm going to throw it to you guys first.
Well, she was told not to touch the markers, so we know that it wasn't just a, you know, something that she just happened upon that they had never talked to her about before.
Right.
It was pretty calm.
What's that?
He was pretty calm.
Yeah.
Well, he obviously thought it was cute and was making a movie to put on the internet.
Right.
He's not going to discipline in the video.
Yeah, you're not going to find videos with discipline in them. Most people realize that would probably be a bad idea, even if it was discipline well done.
You know, Tripp talks about how there's a difference between a kid being a kid. And a kid disobeying.
Yes.
So the illustration he gives is that a kid can put the cup at the edge of the table and it spills over. That's a child being a child. Clumsy, foolish, things like that. But if the instruction had been given, move your cup to the middle of the table, then by putting it at the edge, it becomes disobedient.
Right.
So, you know, kids will draw on themselves, fine. But if the instruction was given, That turns into
fine. Yeah, that is the issue there. As we see, apparently the instruction had been given. And, you know, one of the things, that, of course, by nature of any of these that are on YouTube, unless it's like, well, the one we're going to see next is a prepared presentation, so it's like acting and stuff like that. So in that case, you're actually seeing played out real scenarios, so to speak. But in a case like this where somebody's live filming something happening in their house, by the nature of it, They're actually sending a signal to the kid. I think this is cute, and I'm going to put it out there on the internet for everybody to see. You know, that's just going to be the way it works. But if you are really serious about teaching your kids something not to do, you got to take it serious. I mean, it's cute. Anybody looks at that and goes, oh my. You know, like I said, can you be mad at her, you know? But that's not really the issue. It's not a matter like you're just lashing out in anger. As a parent, what you're doing is doing what's best for the kid. And you may or may not feel like a first infraction like this requires actual spanking or something. It may just require a serious talking to and maybe next time follow up or something. But just you have to play that by ear as a parent, knowing your own kids and knowing your situation. But but at some point, yeah, you've got to get across to them. It's, you know, when I tell you to do something, that's serious. It's not funny. Even as much as we might be naturally inclined to want to laugh it off, it communicates the wrong idea, seems to me. Now, this one particularly brings that out, I think. Any other thoughts on this one? I've got, like I said, a few more. All right, this next one is, looks like it was done. I don't recognize accents real well. It's like either Great Britain or Canada or Australia. It's not an American accent. And it was a video evidently intended to instruct us on how to instruct our children. So, fine, we'll watch that and see what we think. And I may stop it after each section and just kind of... The whole thing's still about as long as the one I just showed you, but they have, like, major headings, so...
Request or instruction. The first step in discouraging behavior you want a child to stop is to communicate clearly what you want them to stop and what to do instead.
No, that's hitting. No hitting. Be gentle with mommy. Be gentle.
Distraction. One strategy which can work well with young toddlers is distraction, because they can get fixated on something and not understand yet why they can't do it.
Come put your shoes on. Come on. Come put your shoes on. Come put your shoes on.
I know you want to get into it, but we'll go play with Bubba instead.
Charlie, why don't you just play with their toys instead of touching them? Get some of their toys out of the box.
Okay, I'll stop it there. That's why I said I'd break it up in a second. The first one to say, you know, if you're going to teach your kid not to do something, you got to communicate that to him. I think that's kind of a no-brainer, right? What about this? The previous one we just came from, which was distraction. They're suggesting distraction as a way of dealing with a kid who's having a problem getting in and hoping it's a problem.
No, well, I hate distraction.
Okay,
it
explain that.
It keeps you from discipline.
Yes.
And if the kid was hitting you, she said, no hitting, be gentle with mommy. I think that's too many words for that age.
Yeah.
Just no, and
yeah.
Take its hand and put it down.
Good point.
And wait.
Yeah.
Is she going to stop hitting you, or is she going to hit you again?
Yep.
Deal with just that until it's done.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I guess right. Any other thoughts?
By distraction, they're saying don't deal with it? Just remove the situation?
Yes. Basically, instead of actually dealing with bad behavior, you're going to show them something, because kids are very easily distracted, right? Especially that age. And it actually works in a sense. What I mean by that is that kids are easily distracted, and usually if they're doing something you don't want them doing, you can say, okay, come on over here and do this, you know, and they'll go do it, and they may be okay for a while. I'm going to come back where I can hear you on the mic, sorry. And where I can hear you personally. Go ahead.
So like for Isaac and Hannah, they're my little artistes, and don't leave markers laying around. But showing them if they start to go for the wall or the table, which is their favorite places, it's no, and it needs to be here only on paper. You only color on paper. And it's a constant reminder of, if you color on the walls, there is going to be discipline. You only color on the paper. And giving them a piece of paper so they're not tempted to drift off to the side. But that, I don't know if that would be considered distraction, or it's just instruction of, this is how it's done. This is what we will do.
Well, what you're saying is, for a no, there's a yes. So if you tell them not to do this, you have to tell them what to do?
Giving them the instruction of where it is appropriate, mm-hmm. but not leaving it, as I've already, because the instruction has already been given, if they color on the wall or the table, they are still going to be disciplined, but in a quick moment of, if they start to go for it, it's a no, this is the right way, and showing them. So it's not just left of, like they don't know where they're supposed to color, or, you know, leaving it up to them to decide. I'm showing them, this is the boundary. This is where you stay. If you cross the boundary again, you will be disciplined again.
Yeah. Okay. Other thoughts?
Yeah, I always think of distraction as something that you do with, like, moral type situations. Like, you know, you've got a young kid who's crying, and they're just so upset about something, and mm-hmm. and it's really hard to get them to calm down.
Yeah.
Distraction is really good for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, the way that they're using it is sort of a, I don't want to deal with this, so I'm going to give you something else to do in this moment.
If you use distraction in the place of obedience, then you are kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, you
and
are.
And you're not being dealing with issues that need to be dealt with in the moment.
Right. I agree with that. Is there a place for kicking the can down the road? Is there a situation where you can't deal with it right then, and so for the moment you're going to distract? And
there was some big public place that I didn't want to come up, maybe something
for,
like that.
Yeah,
but,
for example.
But in the home, you know, that's kind of just what you're supposed to do in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, if you got a house full of, you know, three or four kids and you can't deal with it, that's another thing. But distraction, I would use that as a least.
I'll tell on Sandy here a little bit. This goes way, way back. This is back when, you know Jason, how old he is, and this is when Jason was real little. Sandy was home with him alone. I was at work. I never had any discipline problems with the kids. When I spoke, they listened. End of story. And because they, you know, it's just, I don't know, it's part of being a father or something, I guess. Sandy, who was with them all day, had some difficulties. She was a disciplinarian. She did, you know, follow through on things. She understood all the things that we've talked about in this class very well, and she did those pretty well. But she got into days where it was just this endless cycle of discipline, 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 discipline. And she'd addressed the problem, and now it's addressing the problem of the problem, you know, the crime because of the crime, because, you know, and on. And she finally, I think she called me at work one day and said, do you mind if I... she didn't use the term, but she, basically, do you mind if I use distraction? on occasion, you know, I've disciplined, I've addressed the matter, and we want to go around and around and around. I feel like we're just, you know, going nowhere with this thing, and I want to give us a break. What would you think about that? I let her do it, so, and I may have made a mistake in that, but I'm just, you know, we were trying to. I agree with what you're saying about it. If it becomes in a place of actually dealing with the situation, it can be a very easy way of just saying, oh, we're just never going to deal with anything, and that's bad. But there might be situations where it warrants it, but at the same time, we want to be careful we're not overusing it, it seems to me like. But that's, so I think that would kind of pull together most of what y'all said.
Is that where you kind of take it back to where it's not an issue, to where you can deal with it when it's not an issue, instead of the emotionally charged?
Yeah.
Five times.
Sometimes that would be involved, yeah. You know, it's you know, the theory is what it is, and I certainly am behind it because it's biblical ultimately. But when you get into the nitty-gritty details, sometimes you have to make some of those adjustments or decisions. For right or for wrong, you just, as a parent, you have to kind of make those judgments and figure, where is this going? Like I said, if I'd been in the room, the problem would have been over. But that's not, I wasn't in the room, you know, and Sandy had to deal with it, and that was the best we could come up with at the time. But she didn't, I don't think she used it like to just quit disciplining. She was a disciplinarian all the way through, so it's just something she used on occasion.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He wasn't trying to hurt the kid. He was just playing.
Right.
But the mom distracted the older one to get him away. So I thought that was very appropriate.
Okay. Yeah. So there's a case where it wasn't, you know, that's what I think Stephen brought up earlier. It's an amoral thing. It's something where they're just doing something that's not wise or not a good idea or whatever, you know, or let's do something better.
They need to stop. They should say, why don't you go get some blocks or whatever.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
Because I felt like up to at least 1 year old, it's really natural to say no to something, but then instead of leaving them in a situation to make that choice to not do it again, it would distract them. And I noticed probably around 18 months or so with Jaden that I was still doing that, and I was reading a book that brought that to my attention, that I wasn't enforcing him to obey, to follow through with the obedience. But I mean, definitely at the younger age, when they aren't really capable of following through with the obedience, I think you just say the no and it's okay to do the distraction. But I think I waited too long to transition with Jaden on that.
That's the thing you're wrestling with in that, you know, it's very easy to overuse, mm-hmm. you know, or very easy to become too much of a crutch to where you're not really getting to deal with the discipline issues that, like, you know, you eventually became aware of that was probably something that needed to change in your situation. So, all right, let me move it forward a little bit. They're starting on something. Next point they're making is empathy.
Empathy is one of the most powerful tools for helping them overcome selfish behavior, because they do have an innate ability to feel for other people.
Hey, Dickie, why don't you give it back to him and make him feel happy?
Look, Dickie, he's crying. Look, he's got real tears. Oh, good boy.
That's a nice thing. Toddlers have a lot of reflecting skills, I know, but if you can possibly get them to think about it a little bit, then I think it does help build that level of understanding and empathy.
Ignoring it. Because attention's...
Okay. So, empathy. What do you think about that one? And the way it was played out there in a couple of scenarios.
It depends. Was it his toy to begin with? Because that's a whole other ball game.
It's what?
It's a whole other ball game if it was his toy to begin with and the younger brother's crying because he wants it.
Yeah.
But it's not his toy. It was the older child's toy. And if the parent was forcing him to give his toy just because he's crying, I don't agree with that at all. I mean, that would be wrong.
So all they have to do is cry to get their own way?
Right. That's what it would be teaching. So if you cry, oh, okay, here, you can have it. And it's giving in instead of saying, no, it's not yours. You know, you deal with it. Find your own toy to play with. That kind of thing. But in the other sense, yes, it is good to build empathy for others. Like if I guess to me an easier example would be if you accidentally knock someone down and they're crying, they're hurt, stop what you're doing, turn around and help that individual up. Make sure they're okay. Show your concern for them.
Yeah.
Show help and that it was an accident. Apologize for what you've done. That kind of empathy, but I don't know, the one that they showed there just would be hard to pinpoint.
Yeah, I noticed that, when she was saying, oh, look, he's crying, and it looked to me like the boy started crying, didn't he? Kind of like, oh, okay, I see how this works. Maybe I'm reading that in. It happened kind of quickly, but it looked to me like, you know, like, okay, so now you're going to train your kids, you know, whenever you want to have everybody feel sorry for you, start crying, you know.
Well, it's the same thing if a child falls down. You'll notice parents that are real, like, super parents, you know, every little thing, a child simply puts their hands on the ground,
yeah,
they start crying. The parents, oh, are you okay? And they become so overworked about it. The kid plays on that. You see other parents too, they're like, you fell down, are you okay? All right, let's go. And the child won't shed a tear. I mean, they're totally okay, they're happy, they're smiling, they get up. Why? Because they feed off of what the parents do.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
They're going to react by how you're setting them up to react.
And then you know when they're crying, oh, this is probably a...
Right, when they really are crying or screaming, oh, somebody lost an arm.
Yeah, that's true. Sometimes you can end up building into them the tendency to overreact to things or whatever, and it's very easy for parents to do because they, you know, certain parents are sort of seem more inclined that way than others maybe, but they want to just, oh, my poor baby, you know, and that just communicates to the kid, oh no, this is horrible. I can see value in, you know, like some of the other scenarios that you've given, you know, where you do want them to become aware of the impact of what they're doing on others, or just be aware of how others are doing, whether it was caused by them or not. Be aware of where other people are. We're wanting to train people to, you know, kids naturally, the whole world revolves around just them, and that's the way they're going to be for a while. But you're always trying to push them to look around and see what's going on and be cognizant of what's happening and deal appropriately with what things that are going on. So in that sense, we used to get into this too about discipline, even teenagers, and this is always a tough one even for me. I was always trying to approach these things like calm, cool, collected, almost robotic, you know, dealing with discipline. And I was critiqued or criticized in that by some people, even the kids themselves. Doesn't make it right, but maybe there are. That if you'd showed some emotion, you know, like you were upset or like you were, you know, like a human being, it might have had a little more impact on us. Instead, you were so robotic, you know. What do you think about that? I never did. I had trouble with that because I can turn on the display of, I can turn off the display of emotion. Well, I mean, that's something I learned to do for better or for worse. I'm not necessarily bragging. I'm just saying I can do that, and I tend to do that. I tend to just turn off the emotion. I think it's a guy thing to some degree to do that more maybe than the women on average. I don't know. But certainly I do that. Is that a problem?
I can see how that would be a problem. I mean, ideally you have enough control over your emotions to be able to show, you know, show emotion and the level of emotion you want to show in
yeah.
the moment. That's not always the way that emotions work because, you know, a person who is going to show more emotion, you know, sometimes it's like you can't even get past it to the actual content of what's happening. You know, why are they upset? Are they overreacting or whatever? But then if you don't show any, the kid may be feeding off that, like you said, and they may just think, I'm not really sure if this is a big deal or not. Cause
or if you care. That was the
yeah.
that was the contention. That you don't seem to care.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it doesn't bother you. You're just going through the motions. I don't know. I will say in my own situation, my own life, I had a mom who tended to display emotion in a very volatile way when I was younger. And I think part of my learning to do what I did was a sort of subconscious, whatever, reaction against that. It's like, I am not going to be that person. that's something I do not want to be like. And so I went to the other extreme. I think that's how I got there. But maybe letting some through, I mean, not faking it, but, you know, sometimes you're, generally, and you know, it had to be pointed out to me at one point that I was oftentimes feeling a lot of things that I wasn't letting myself even be aware of that I was feeling. And you know, that sounds crazy, but I was actually doing that, not on purpose, just wasn't. And get yourself to where you really sense what's going on inside of you more than just, you know, turning on the robotics. Something to think about. Other thoughts on that or anything? All right. They're introducing ignoring it. I think it's maybe the last one on this particular video.
Seeking is one of a child's main drivers. Withholding attention becomes the most powerful way of turning off behavior we don't like.
It's a hard thing because not every situation you can cut and run and get them out of there. Sometimes you just have to deal with it. And the way that I've found that it works quite well is purely ignore it.
Explanation of consequence. Make sure they understand what will happen if they keep doing something damaging, hurtful, or dangerous.
That's pinching, that's our. No, Samson, no pinching or you're going to time out. Do you want to time out? No pinching.
Children at that age can't really rationalize with you, so it's better to keep instructions or advice short, simple, and sometimes even check that they've actually got those little statements, so that way you know they're on track.
Sometimes they might seem like they're ignoring what you said, but it is usually a sign they are just testing it. They are trying to understand, did you mean no throwing rocks at all, or just no throwing rocks on the wood or at people?
No throwing rocks.
Damn rock throwing.
Fry actually said to her, no throwing rocks. So what she's doing now is...
I just let a couple go by because we're running short on time, but some might be. Okay, so the first one, ignoring it. It almost seems like distraction in a way, but it's just a different approach. And the guy defended it by saying sometimes you're in a situation where you can't deal with it or something. I don't know exactly how he put it, but he tried to explain it in those terms. What are your thoughts on that? We may have already kind of hit this under distraction, but... Anybody?
The only time I would use that, ignoring it, is in a specific situation where a child spanking does not get through to them. And point would be with Isaac. He doesn't register things as a typical child because of developmental delays. So
right.
One of the only ways that has ever gotten through to him was removing the sensory input for him, which is when he would disobey, the training part was, we remove him from the room, he gets strapped into a car seat in the corner, and I leave the room. One, it diffuses my anger at having to keep going over and over and over.
Yeah.
Two, because he's removed from everybody else, all input, it becomes, in a sense, we're ignoring it.
Yes.
We're going to ignore your behavior, we're ignoring the disobedience, that is the punishment of having to sit by yourself. And I never would I have ever thought that that would be the one thing that gets through to him, but he hates it. For the other kids,
yeah,
Carolettes are like, yeah, okay. Spanking for them is definitely the way to go. The older they get, the punishment fits the crime. You know, they lose something that they really, really wanted. But for the here and now, and this majority of the kids, they're still in that, the discipline, just straightforward, that's effective. But for Isaac, it's not. He can't feel pain. He's got the highest pain threshold ever. So how do you get through to him? How do you give him consequences? And that is the one way that, for his little quirk, it works. So it's, you can't say 100% over the board ignoring it is a bad thing, because there are specific situations where that is the only way
mm-hmm.
that can reach a child. But it's on an individual basis.
Yeah, and they did make that. That was another point they did make, was that if they're trying to get attention, you ignore them. In a sense, it's a form of punishment. It's, you know, we tend to turn to corporal punishment, which is, you know, the baseline. But there could be a place for that. You named a situation where you have a special needs
right.
situation.
Well, maybe in there, they're letting the child just do it right next to them.
Yeah.
They're ignoring it right there and then.
Yeah.
I guess for us, maybe the sense that we are stopping what we're doing and removing him and placing him in that chair, and he
yeah.
has to get buckled up and he has to sit there for the 5 minutes or 10 minutes by himself. That's me stopping, just as if I was having to spank. I'd have to stop what I'm doing,
yeah.
correct it, and then go back to what I'm doing. So it's the same thing. It's not just me.
Yeah, in a sense, you're really actually not ignoring it. You're just using isolation instead of spanking for the discipline, in a sense,
yeah.
it sounds like. So. again, some of these are calls you have to make as parents. I don't want to make super hard, fast rules say, you know, this is always bad. It's all, you know, throw cautions out there about all these things that, like that. But there could be situations where, if on a limited basis, you might. Well, one thing is, like in public, a lot of times you don't have the liberties to do things, unfortunately, in our public surroundings that you would have back in my day. You know, when it was parents were looked at as needing to take care of their kids, as opposed to, you know, being horrible abusers that we're going to turn in because they, you know, swatted somebody in the store or something. It's just a reality of where we are, unfortunately. So, okay, quickly, the next one was warning of consequences. What are your thoughts on that one? And I don't want to ignore the front row. I walked back here to hear Amy, but what do y'all? Audrey says no. What's the danger there?
You need to obey because you're supposed to obey, not because you know what's going to happen if you don't.
Yeah. You know what can get it? My wife shared a story with me. I played some of these for her, and we were kind of sorting through them, deciding which ones to show and all that. And she told me a story about her mom. When her mom was a little girl, I think she was 5 years old, maybe. Her mom asked her mom, you know, who was her grandma, what would happen if I took the bus downtown and went to go see the idiot at work? And grandma said, well, I'd spank you. And her mom thought about that and thought, That'd be worth it. So she did. She walked down, got on the bus, and all the way downtown, and went to her dad's office and, hi, Daddy. And Dad's like, oh, hi, where's your mom? She's at home. And she said, and her mom told Sandy that I added up and thought, well, that's worth it. I'll go for a spanker for that. Yeah, no problem. So, and she said her grandmother said after that, that's what I learned. You don't tell them what's going to happen, because you let that be the big, dark, scary mystery, I think. I really think that's why. I don't see much value in that. If you do this again, especially a lot of times parents will use that in place of discipline. If you do that one more time, I'm gonna give you a swat, or I'm gonna ground you for the rest of your life, or you know, whatever, you know, those kinds of things. I think it's best to like you say, obedience is the real issue here, and they're supposed to be obeying you because you're the parent. I know they don't always, obviously, but that's
like safety type situation.
What's that?
I do use this, but in like safety type situations, like for example, like the other day, my neighbor Frank came out and I had walked across the street, and Jaden heard us talking, so he wants to come across the street, but I say, you know, stop, look both ways so there's not a car coming.
Oh yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know, or he's climbed up one of the pallets, acting like he's sawing a tree down, standing on one foot on the, you know, you're gonna fall off and break your arm, those type situations I use, but not like a regular, everyday, just obedient type thing. The safety type situations where he needs to learn, if I mess this up, here's what's gonna happen, what could happen.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, and it's one thing to warn about real life situations and dangers. It's another thing to threaten punishment, which is kind of what they're getting at here. You know, I mean, yeah. If you say, hey, you know, don't go near the edge of the cliff because you might fall off and die. You know, that might be a good warning to give. But you know, but something where, you know, if you do that, you know, mommy's going to give you a spanking or whatever. Well, the last thing, and then we'll try to wrap this up quick because we're really kind of actually out of time. But they brought up this point about, well, sometimes kids look like they're ignoring you, but really they're just trying to figure out, like, when you tell them not to throw rocks, does that mean I don't throw rocks when I'm standing on the porch, or I just don't throw rocks, period, or I don't throw... What what do you think about that? I mean, you saw the scenario they presented. Thoughts? Yes?
We were given an example in school. A little boy came, was going outside, Mama said, now don't go past the sidewalk. Well, he went outside, and he went all the way down the sidewalk and off. So she spanked him. And then the next day, don't go off the sidewalk. So he goes up, and then he eventually gets off the sidewalk. He gets a spanking. And the third day, she said, don't get off the sidewalk. And he said, Mama, what's a sidewalk?
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so we do want to make sure we're communicating clearly.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of a hard time buying it in that particular situation, a kid throwing rocks. You know, I don't know. You have to kind of know your own kid and have to kind of know your own situation. Again, you're the parent. And I want to try to make hard, fast rules where we are not in a position to do that or don't need to be doing that. But I would be careful that you're not being worked on that deal. You know, well, you didn't tell me not to throw rocks in the house. We're, you know, I just thought you meant outside, you know. Really? You know, I might let them get, you know, after a good talking to, get away with that one time, but probably I would be a little leery about that. All right, well, there's more coming. We'll be doing this for, you know, a few more weeks. And I've got some written things as well as videos along the line. So let me just pray. Father, thank you for this time to be together and for us to try to exercise the wisdom that you give us, and to be good parents and to be good encouragers to one another. We pray in Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.
Do you need out here?
I will in a second, yeah. I'll lock it up.